Okay, but the end of the sugya of Chukuzakum, they want to just carve Lamalchus. So, again, I don't want to get too bogged down in the sugya, but basically the Gemara in several places introduces the Heter that the Torah summarizes over here, which is that Misha Karav Lamalchus, Vitzar Lavosh, Kimabu Shehem, Uladamat Lehem Mutar, Bechal, right? Someone who is close to the royalty, close to the monarchy, and therefore needs to dress in their clothes and to imitate them is permitted. And the question that all the commentaries want to know is, why is it, how could it be that if the prohibition of B'chukoseim Loseleich is a biblical prohibition, so how could it be that we waive it simply because you are Karov L'malchus? Right? What, how does that make any sense? And this is the question that the Beis Yosef asks, right? If you see here in the bold, right, Vim Tomar came in the Mindaraisa, Asire Hanich Mile, Umilka Nami Lakya Layu, right? If it's a biblical prohibition, Heyachayakoch, Biyadcha Chamim Lahatir, Isser Torah, Chlor Malchus, how can you permit it? So what does the Beis Yosef say?
He gives like two answers.
Good. What is the first answer?
The first answer is that, one second, let me find it. It was for the safety of the Jews to happen.
Good. The Yishlomer, the Mishumat Tzal Yisrael, Yishkoch Be'adam Lahatir. But the first possibility is because you need to save the Jews. Now this is mildly problematic. Why is this problematic? It's mildly problematic. Why? Why is it mildly problematic?
Because it's still a Doraisa.
So?
I mean, where Chachamim can't just do that.
Well, why not? There's a category that could permit it. What? Right? Meaning, at first glance, how did you understand the Beis Yosef when he says that maybe it's permitted because of Hatzalas Yisrael?
I mean, it seems like the reason why it's permitted is because of Nefesh.
Because Nefesh.
But it's
right?
Not really, because it's really kind of more preemptive.
Good, right? Meaning, at first glance, you'd say that it's pikuach nefesh, and that's why it's permitted, and that waves even daraisa. There's two problems. One is that it's preemptive, right? Preemptive, and there's no imminent danger, right? That's problem one. What's problem two? What are the exceptions to? What are the exceptions?
What
to pikuach nefesh?
The big three.
What are the big three?
Shlichus
Zamen Avodah Zarah. And B'chukoseim Lo Seileichu is arguably Abu Zrayu, at least, of Avodah Zarah, right? So it's not obvious what he just said. Now, the first problem, the preemptive problem, you can just solve. And if you were at Brody's, not Ray Broyd now, but Ray Brody's here, right? He talked about this a little bit. That when you're dealing with in the aggregate, right? You're dealing with a nation, so now you're not dealing with one person, but you're dealing with the aggregate, right, of situations, it becomes because of nevesh vadai, right? Meaning, it's true, for a single individual person, it's not important that you have somebody who's there fighting for their needs to the government. But, like, the Jewish community as a whole,
right,
it's inevitable that there will be a need to have political intervention.
Right.
And therefore, pikuach nefesh can be understood a little bit more broadly. And the truth is that even if you say that this is quasi avodah zarah, the Nadi Yehuda points out in a tshuva that when you're dealing with Klal Yisrael, it might be that even things which are generally prohibited, right, meaning even, right, even they're Yehar Gval Yavor, right? They're prohibited even on pain of death. For Hatzalas Kol Klal Yisrael might be mutter. Right?
So what do you mean?
So, right, meaning that even if Avodah Zarah would, let's say, be prohibited to save an individual, if one person would have to worship Avodah Zarah to save all of Klal Yisrael, another Yehuda says it might be mutter. Right? Meaning certain things that even Yehar Gval Yavor might not stand up, but B'nai Hatzalas Kol Klal Yisrael. So it could be that this is, right, so what exactly he means, right? Whether he thinks that this is just stam pikuach nefesh, or it's pikuach nefesh because it's in Tzibur, or because Hatzalas Kol Klal Yisrael, whatever exactly he means. But his first answer is, look, it's basically usser, right? Meaning, but let's just analyze again. I know you read it, so let's that gives us, because you guys read it, right? That gives me a little bit more leeway here to really push you misvara, right? Beis Yosef is saying what? Is he changing? What was? Let's put it this way. In his question, before you get to the second answer, the first answer, in his question, how did he define The Isser of B'chukoseihem? And his answer, how did he define the Isser B'chukoseihem?
One was...
his question, he defines it as a stam lav in the Torah that you get like malchus for.
And what's the nature of the prohibition?
Completely midoraisa.
And what is the prohibition? Yes, doraisa. What is it? To do what? To be like them, whatever. And in his answer, did he change his explanation?
He kind of changed it to...
No, not at all.
No, he kind of changed it to the Omnam Malchus.
No, with the first answer, did he change it at all? No, think about it. Pikuach Nefesh, by answering Pikuach Nefesh, essentially...
Oh, you don't change anything by answering Pikuach Nefesh.
Exactly, right? Meaning
when you get
the first
details, though, that's where it's going to...
Bidyuk, right? Meaning the first answer, right, if you want to methodologically define what the Beis Yosef is doing...
No difference.
Right? If the question is, how is it mutter... Right? Isn't it usher to imitate non-Jews? Midaraisa. And the answer is yes, but it's pikuach nefesh.
Then
you haven't changed your understanding of Rabbi Chukoseihem. Right? You've just said in Ochanami it's daraisa, but pikuach nefesh waives the prohibition. Big deal. Right? So in answer one, he doesn't he doesn't tell you anything about how he understands Rabbi Chukoseihem. He just tells you, however you understand Rabbi Chukoseihem, there's an exception because of pikuach nefesh or pikuach nefesh of Kal Yisrael. His second answer, right, again, methodologically, I want you to understand what he's doing. Answer one is saying, in my question I understood B'chukoseihem one way, and in my answer and I understand it the same way.
Right.
There's a magic catch-all that makes it mutter anyways, called Pikuach Nefesh. But his second answer says, no, I'm not going to answer through magic. Right? I'm going to answer by changing my understanding of...
Spin your phone.
Of... B'chukoseihem. Right? You understand methodologically the difference between those two? Donnie, you look like you don't get it.
You have
right?
Two
the question, answers. Question, right, is... Dressing like a non-Jew. It's an Isser D'oraisa, B'chukoseihem. How could it be mutter? Answer one, Pikuach Nefesh. So, therefore what? So, when you say Pikuach Nefesh, what are you really saying? You're saying, in my question, I understood dressing up like non-Jews as a violation of B'chukoseihem. In my answer... Exactly, it's not changing it. That's my point. When you pull up Pikuach Nefesh, what you're saying is, in my question, I thought that it's B'chukoseihem. In my answer... I think it is still B'chukoseihem.
Okay.
Right? Or let me take B'chukoseihem out. Right? Let me put it B'chukoseihem out. Right? The same question. Right? Yesterday, I saw Regensburg eating pig. Right? How could that be mutter? Right? Answer one. He was Rachmana Litzlan, he was dying, and the doctor said the only thing that saved his life is pig. Therefore, what did I just change?
Nothing.
Nothing.
All you've said
pig is usher. Right? That was pig. Fine. Answer two. Right? Answer two. It was genetically modified pig, and you didn't realize it wasn't real pig. It was lab grown, and he paskin it was mutter. Right? Right? Answer one. I'm not changing my answer one. I pulled something out of left field.
Yeah.
Answer two, the Beis Yosef is neuro. The difference isn't the magic answer Pikuach Nefesh. Yeah. It's how I understand B'chukoseihem. So what does he say, Shimon? What does he say?
His understanding of B'chukoseihem is different. That it was the Rabbanan, like we were.
So let's read this very carefully because I know you read it, but the exact. If it's based...
Yeah, it's based on this.
On something that you did not do during Seder, then I'm going to move on.
No, I'm just... But they can extend to things such as societal... Like, it's like anything societal problems, not necessarily individual problem.
Potentially, right? Potentially.
That's all I was asking.
Right. And that was what Ray Brody talked about on Tuesday. Okay, good. Second answer. Let's be very careful here. Right? The Od Yesh Lomar, Shimon, take it away.
The Od Yesh Lomar Shatara... there's another answer. Shatara lo pirsha davar elastama v'kasav v'kosem l'tevek. The Torah that there's the other answer is that the Torah just wrote it. Stam v'kosem l'tevekhu. And that was the pasuk umasra davar l'chachamim and v'hem asur devarim elu l'shar b'nei adam. So basically we have the pasuk and the chachamim were the ones who came up with all the other things that fall under that category.
Okay, so here's where, right, you read it, but you didn't quite get what he said. Mm-hmm. Right, we got to be very careful here. What is Masra HaKasuv L'Chachamim mean? Or Masra HaDavar L'Chachamim in this case? What does that mean? Donnie, what does it mean? Donnie. What does it mean? Masra HaDavar L'Chachamim. What does it mean? What does Limsor mean?
Given over, like Masara.
Good. Now, so what does it mean? What is it, Masra? So what does it mean?
Moshe Messina?
No. So let's be careful, okay? Why is it mutter? Right? Summarize it for outside. Why, according to the Beis Yosef, second answer, is it mutter?
It seems like, according to we saying that the Chacham were the ones who came up with all the different aspects of what's usher under Uvukukasei Motelei.
And therefore what? It's what? Darabanan?
No, and therefore...
Okay, good. Right, so it's not Darabanan, so now explain to me, so what is it?
Therefore, they didn't even... This was never fell under that category.
Why?
This case of...
So what are the words...
Never fell
good,
under
what are the words Masar Darul Chachamim mean?
It was given over to the Chacham. Like, for them to...
So let me ask you the following question, right? How is this different from Shabbos? The Torah says, keep Shabbos.
Right.
Never says what that is.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So Chachamim interpret, it means the 39 malachos.
Yeah.
So now what? The Chacham can just say, well, Shabbos, well, you know...
No, it's saying that from Me'ikr, this was never an
good
issue.
Good, so explain
from
to me.
From the beginning,
this is,
it was never an issue.
Why?
Because it never fought.
When the Chachamim were setting up what the parameters were,
how could they set it up?
It was given over to them for them.
What
to
does
set,
it mean?
Like to make the, like, let's say you have an Av, they're now making the small parts that come out of it.
So that's like Shabbos, but then.
So no, this is saying that this was never even part of the.
Good. How? Explain to me.
What do you mean how? That's
okay. So let's put it right.
If it was given over to them,
what does it mean? So that's what I'm asking. What does it mean? It was given over to them. Was Shabbos given over to them?
Yes. Anything? I guess I don't know. What does that mean?
Right? Is this the same? Is this the same as Chazal interpreting?
What does that mean? And it was given over to them. Does that mean that it was like we know that there's some form of halacha regarding Vukosomikolotelichu, but we don't know what that this should apply to. So now it's in the hands of the Chum to determine what it's going to apply to.
Ah, so
is that
that's,
what the Masra means?
Right. So here's the question. Right. And this is something Rav Asher Weiss points out in several places. Ostensibly, there are three ways that Chazal relate to mitzvot. Okay? In most cases, they do one of two things. Either they interpret.
Right.
Right? If they interpret, right, what do I mean they interpret? The Torah says, keep Shabbos. It doesn't say what it means to keep Shabbos. So Chazal interpret it. But now, what is the status of what they just say? Right, when it's not just Daraisa, it's Daraisa for sure. Right, but it's like, right, meaning, did Chazal have any choice in the matter?
No.
Not really, right? I mean, right, they're interpreting. They don't have choice, right? They have interpretive choices, but they don't have...
Derived from it.
Right? I mean, they're trying to figure out what the Torah means. And once they figure it out, the status of that is Daraisa. Why? Because they were figuring out what the Torah meant.
Right.
Then, at the other extreme, there's cases where Chazal legislate. That's what do we call it when Chazal legislate?
A
Derabanan. Right, a Takana, Xeira, meaning Chazal say, this isn't Daraisa, but we're telling you to do it anyways.
Right.
But Rav Asher Weiss says there seems to be a third category called Masar HaDavar L'Chachamim, which is that the Torah itself gave Chazal the ability to legislate
and
the Daraisa. Right, meaning Hashem gave...
To choose where the Daraisa applies.
Exactly,
that's
meaning...
So that's the idea of Umasra.
Exactly, so that's what he says, right? And that is weird. Why? Right, I mean, what does that allow them to do?
That allows them...
It allows them to say that something is Daraisa...
And you can do it.
And you can do it anyways. Why? Because if we interpret that it's Daraisa, so then the only way that we can be Matar it is by Pikuach Nefesh.
Right.
If it's Darabanan, we can do whatever we want.
Right.
But if it's Masar HaKasav L'Chachamim, we can tell you that it's Daraisa here, but for you it's not.
What do you mean?
Right? Meaning, if... Right, Rav Asher Weiss's argument is that whenever you find Masar HaDavar L'Chachamim, what it means is that it's as if Hashem said, look, right? Shabbos, Hashem said, I'm going to write all the laws. I just want you to figure it out. I want you to decode it. But once you decode it, you got to follow the rules. Right? Like it or not, you got to follow it. Dirabanan is where Chazal say, look, this is what God said. This is what we said. Masra HaKasuv L'Chachamim, according to Rav Asher Weiss, and I think that's a simple read of the Beis Yosef, is God said, okay, here, it's a blank check. However you fill it out, it has my stamp of approval on it.
But
it's not Derabanan. But I'm letting you define the Daraisa itself, right? It's, you know what it's like? It's like this. It's like the Megillah, right? Achashverosh says, look.
It's like Rabbi Ginsburg says, make a program for Talmud.
And then put my Gushbank on it, right? But it's like the Megillah.
That's literally what it is.
No, but think about it. It's like the Megillah, right? It's like the Megillah, where Achashverosh said, here's my signet ring, and now whatever you do, right, what does Achashverosh say?
You have the power of the king.
Once it's done, I can't even retract it if I wanted to. Right. Meaning, I didn't say it. But as if I did, I can't even...
There's nothing like Rabbi Ginsburg.
Right?
Can the rabbis say that it's a deraisa, but it's not a deraisa for sure?
Because...
this concept of umasa.
That's exactly the point. It's Moser Kazachom. God said, here's my signet ring. Write the rules however you want. Right? Whatever you do, it's not the Rabbanan. Right? Right? It's not the Rabbanan. It's not... right? It's Daraisa, but I'm letting you write the Daraisa, which is a...
the legislation of the...
Exactly, which is an insane right category, and he notes there's a few of them. And in every case that you have it, you have weird exceptions. So, for example, you have it by the Malacha on Cholamoid. Right? It's a Machlokas Rishonim. Half the Rishonim say, yes, you're doing it in afternoon Seder.
Yeah.
Right, half the Rishonim say that doing Malacha on Chol HaMoed is Asher Midaraisa, and half of them say it's Asher Midarabanan.
Right.
But what's the problem with saying that it's Darabanan? Sorry, with saying it's Daraisa?
There's no...
Because, what does the Gemara say? It's Mutter in... It's Mutter for Hefsed Meruba, it's Mutter Letzarchei Rabib, it's Mutter... Right? Blah, 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 blah. Simchas HaMoed. Right? All types of categories. So if it's Darabanan, I understand. Chazal said, it's Usher here, it's not Usher there. But if it's Daraisa, how can Chazal... Right? If the Isser Malach on Chol HaMoed is Usher Midaraisa, just like Yom Tov, on Shabbos, so then how can you say it's Mutter for the Moed, it's Mutter... So what does Rav Asher say? It's Maser Adava L'Chachamim. In a Chanam it's Daraisa, but it was a blank check Daraisa.
Right.
God said, write the rules however you want, do whatever you want. So they wrote these convoluted laws. It's Mutter here, it's Asher there. It's Mutter here, it's Asher there.
The check written out to Fukosem Lo Telechu, and Bidyuk, write the number in.
Bidyuk, right? Which is a very radical... Right, so I said, you understood the words, but the exact nuance there is actually quite radical.
Is this,
right?
Is this like Kuliyama understanding in the Beis Yosef?
Look, I think Rav Asher is right. That whenever... That this
I
is the,
agree. What he's saying makes sense. I'm curious, is this like...
Cool? Not everybody likes it. No, a lot of people don't like that.
The idea of Umasra?
Or? They don't like this interpretation of Umasra.
What's a different way to understand that then?
I don't know. I mean, some people... whatever. They try to finagle it. Simple understanding. Look, there are Rishonim who say that Chukosim is Darabanan. So then they'll say maybe this is Darabanan. Right? That's another way of getting around this. Right, but I think the simplest understanding is like Rav Asher, that Maser Adav L'Chachamim means that Chazal were given very, very extreme legislative power, but within the Daraisa. Right, that's the Chiddush here. This isn't Darabana. Okay? Now, this is already a radical addition to our understanding of Chukosayim.
Which,
right,
that Uchukosem Motelechu was like this odd Darabanan Daraisa.
Exactly, right? Meaning when everyone says, well, Uchukosem is a little bit weird, what does it include? Now, I didn't give you, but there are certain Rishonim that say, like Darkei Amori, the only things that are Asur are the things that are in the Gemara.
Right.
How could that be? Right? How could it be? How could you even say something like that? Right? What if non-Jews do something different now? So now it's not Asur? Well, the answer might be, maybe not.
Right.
Right, if you think it's defined by Chazal, so if Chazal didn't say it, it's not true. Doesn't matter that it becomes goyish. Right? Now, that's probably not true of all B'chukosam, but parts of it, maybe. Okay, fine.
Why say part of B'chukosam?
Now, who, by the way, says this? Right? Now, if you know, look at the Prisha for a moment. The Beis Yosef seems to say this. The Prisha, I'm not sure how else you read it. Right? Look at the Prisha. Look at the bolded part in the Prisha. That seems to be exactly what it says. Va'od yesh lomar shatora lo pirsha davar. But the Torah didn't explain elastama. It wrote it, right, sort of generically. Ukasva b'chukosem lo seilechu, and wrote, don't go in their ways. Umasra davar lechachamim, and it gave it to the chachamim. Vehei masru dvarim el l'shar b'nei adam davka. And the Chazal, when they ushered it for other people. Ukrad v'chosem yiskayim ekroy malchut b'shar drachim. And then he says something astonishing. And he says, okay, so how is the pasuk going to relate to the people who are close to the king? Some other way. right? Whatever, so they won't, so they'll dress like Goyim, but they won't speak like Goyim. I don't know. Come up with your own. Right? I mean, his point is, right? They'll figure out some other way that doesn't hurt the way they relate to the king. Right? But he says it almost explicitly. Right? He says, for the average person, how do you stay distinct from non-Jews? X, Y, and Z. For people in Krov L'Malchus, Z, right? Not X and Y.
Right?
Fine, but he says almost explicitly that Chazal were able to play fast and loose with the rules. Okay.
Into the Bach, though.
Right, now the Bach, and this is really the, again, I didn't spend so much time on it in the last few days.
But it's really good.
Right, the Bach has a very neat, most people don't like the Bach, but he has a very neat explanation of the sugya. Now what does he say? And it totally changes the way we understand Michal Gosem, because until now, if you remember, we've done this over and over. All the explanations we've seen assume that B'chukosem lo seilechu is objective to certain actions. Right? It's objective to, is this the type of thing that Goyim do? Is it the type of thing that Goyim did first? Does it make sense? Is it idolatrous? Is it preachless? Is it blah, 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 blah? But what was the assumption of everybody? Maharik, Ran, Tosfos, Gra, all of them. That whatever is B'chukosem is...
No.
Is B'chukosem for everybody.
Right?
I mean, it doesn't matter why you want to do it. You might want to do it for some other reason, but it doesn't matter. Right? Once something is B'chukosem, right, it's a chok akum, it's usher. If that from that understanding, so then the sugya of Karav L'Malchus is difficult. Right? Because you'll say, look, if something is Karav L'Malchus, how could it be mutter? So then you have to come on to it. It's Pikuach Nefesh, or we carved out exceptions. The Bach just says, what does the Bach say, Shimon?
You want to read inside? Or
yeah, why don't you read inside?
Okay. From Deleka. Should I just read from the book?
Yeah. Belinera.
Belinera. The Lake of Hakushi, the Lashon, the Gosem, the Telechu, Lo Mashmela, Sharotza, Le Stamos, Le Naho, Kamosam, Shnira, Shemod, Le Dosam, the Lashon,
so what does that mean?
It's to him, it's Takasha. On the Lashon of Gosem, the Telechu, that is, it's not my.
Is it the Lake of Hakushi? There's no question.
There's no Kasha here regarding, like, what this means. It's not mashma.
Lo mashma ella, meaning it only sounds like what?
It sounds like if you're doing it because you want to do what they're doing.
Yeah, right? The Bach tells you, you misunderstood the whole thing. This is not an objective prohibition that it's usher to do a goyish thing. It's a subjective prohibition, which is don't do goyish things to be goyish.
Right?
Sorry. Hey, don't do goyish things for the purpose of being goyish.
Right.
And therefore the same action for one person could be mutter.
Right.
Someone else could be usser. Why? Because of
the
intent. Right. So this is the average person. Why are you dressing like a goy?
Because
you want to dress like a goy. Right? So it's usser. But why is...
His pants are comfortable.
Right? Why is this guy dressing? Right? So he says, what does he say? Right? He said, and what's the problem? So because if you're doing it to imitate them, like you're trying to be part of their religion. Yeah. Right, and he's medayik from the Sifrei. Says Kolashna Sifrei.
Since
he said, look at the language. The Sifrei says,
since they go out in Argamon, so too I'm also going to go out in Argamon. Cool. Aval Mishain Daito is Damos Lahan. El Shitzark Lovushku Vashayem. The Limdos Lahem, Kadeshlo Yielo Ganai. If someone's doing it not to be like them, but rather because they need to do it in order so that way they don't get, what was the word? Degradation.
Right, it's not degrading, like, it's great. Not exactly.
Then, Shlo Yielo Ganai, Imlo Yinme Lahem, Davarze, Lo Astratar. Even so, if you're similar, it doesn't matter. This is the Torah didn't make this usher.
Yeah, so this totally changes it. The Bach says the key to Karav L'Malchus is that you misunderstood the whole prohibition of
based off
of
why you're doing it.
Yeah, it's not what you're doing. It's not whether what you're doing is goyish. I mean, that's part of it, obviously. But what makes it us or a mutter is not just whether what you're doing is goyish, it's
the intention.
Are you doing it because it's goyish? Right? It could be goyish, but if the average person's doing something goyish, so why are they doing it? to be goyish. But why is the guy who's Karv Lamalchus doing it?
The same thing like our clothes. You could say, oh, this, I'm putting this coat.
He has a reason. He's doing it so that way he's not a gnar.
Yeah, I know.
Now again, so a lot of times the Bach is going to overlap with everybody else, right? Because think about it, right? It'll overlap many times with the Maharik.
Seems to overlap the reason of no purpose.
Right, that's my point, right? The Bach will often overlap with the Maharik, but he's coming from a different angle.
Okay.
Right, the Maharik is saying if it makes sense, so then it's not a chukas akum, it's just a thing that people do. It's not a goyish or a Jewish thing, it's just a person thing. The Bach,
So according to the Bach, if it makes sense, and you're still only doing it to be like them,
it would be us, sir. Exactly, right? Meaning, right. According to the Bach, right? Meaning, he'll, like I said, he'll often overlap with the Maharik, but not always, right? It could be, you could say, look, for most people, you can wear a, a doctor's coat because you're doing it so that they don't ask the janitor to do heart surgery. But if one guy says, no, I want to be like the goyim, right?
You have a job where you have to.
Well, let him be honest with himself.
Yeah.
Right? He wants to be a guy, and he's doing it to be a guy, so it's usher. Right? I mean, it's not always going to overlap.
Sometimes an issue based on halacha, though.
That's very dangerous. It's not the ve'achalei shiurim. It's very, very dangerous in a chanami. In a chanami. Now, I'll just. Okay, with that, I think we've basically seen now, this is a fourth explanation of the Chukosehem, right? We've seen the three different versions of the objective standards, right? The Ramah, Marek, Gra, etc., right? Ron, Tosas, however you want to put it. And now we've seen a fourth, which is the Bach, that's all about intent. And then we also saw that Beis Yosef, who says, by the way, the exact parameters of it were actually given to Chazal. Now, for those of you who didn't go to the shiur or don't remember, just to quickly, right, summarize what Rabbi Broid said in his shiur, how this all came up, right, recently, right, the big explosion over this issue recently was when, in 2009, right, Lukstein went to the, right, Haskell Lukstein, the rabbi at KJ, which you don't know, but it's a very prominent shul in Manhattan, right, Rabbi Lukstein is like a very, very prominent rav in Manhattan, like he was like the right, it was like a big controversy last year because he was the rabbi who converted Ivanka Trump, right?
Yeah.
And then the rabbinate rejected his conversion, so it was a whole mess.
So he knew.
No, then they backed down. You know, Kedarkam Bakodesh, right?
The Kushners, whatever.
I don't know. they are part of the Orthodox community. I don't know what they do and what they don't do. I don't know.
That was a side question.
But imagine to an extent.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's also a sticky situation.
They definitely are part. Somewhat, you know, part of the Orthodox community. What they do, what they don't do, is none of my business. I don't care.
Oh my God,
let them do whatever.
I love cook here.
So what happened then was that, right, Lukstein had been invited to participate in the Obama inauguration in a church, right, and he went, right, and the argument he gave was Karav Lamalchus, right, was that, right, meaning he said that, look, it was proper, it was, you know, responsible for an Orthodox, you know, some of the Orthodox rabbinate to go, and he explained why he do it, because he says, I mean, I'll read to you what he said. He said, the Shulchan Aruch, right, many clergy were invited, and I feel it would have been a disservice to the interest of the Orthodox community had no one from our community participated. Shulchan Aruch notes in Yoredeya, right, this is what we're reading now, that a person who needs to be close to the government may wear even the Torah-prohibited garment of a Gentile in order to represent the Jewish community well. The prohibition to enter a church is grounded in the desire to avoid the appearance of impropriety, rather than actual impropriety. Indeed, wearing garments of Gentiles is a Torah prohibition. Entering a church is generally thought to be a rabbinic one. We'll see whether that's true next week. And he said, it's well known that many chief rabbis... Was this Rabbi Lukstein? Yeah, this was Rabbi Lukstein.
Lord Rabbi Jonathan Sacks.
Right, he said it's well known that many chief rabbis of England have gone into Westminster Abbey.
Yes.
When summoned there by the king or queen.
In the Time magazine.
Yeah.
You can see the big picture of the royal wedding.
And
not the most recent one, but the other one.
Yeah.
There's a picture. You can see him like right in the corner of the picture. He's standing in there. Right. His eyes closed, just like
Right, and he says that many other great rabbis have done the same to represent any our community. The chief rabbis of Israel have engaged in similar activities, and most recently, the chief rabbi Chaifa, Rosh Yashiv HaKohen, was involved in similar activities. In fact, he attended the funeral of the late John Paul II. Okay?
Really?
Apparently.
Who knew?
Okay, and then he said that Rabbi Michael Broyd told me that he was once asked by the Israeli government to represent the government of Israel on a very serious matter, an event in a church during a time of worship. He spoke to the Tzitz Eliezer about the issue, and the Tzitz Eliezer told him directly that if it was a matter of significant importance to the Israeli government, that he should go wearing his kippah and looking as rabbinic as possible. Right, and therefore, Rabbi Lukstein went on to explain that based on this, he went because he thought it was Karav L'Malchus, and he said that he used the opportunity to talk to the president to try to get support for Israel. He said, will it do anything or not? I don't know. But he felt that under the category of Karav L'Malchus, it was permitted. Now this launched a machlokes in Chakira, right, or back and forth that was eventually published in Chakira between two prominent modern Orthodox rabbis. One was Rabbi Broyd, which is why he was speaking about it here, right? Rabbi Michael Broyd. And the other was Rabbi Kenneth Aumann, right, who's a prominent rabbi also in New York. Right? Now, Rabbi Broyd supported Rabbi Lukstein. And why, right? What did he say? So he basically noted, remember what Shimon already noted? That it's a bit of a weird Pikuach Nefesh situation, right? Because it's not a classic Pikuach Nefesh. There's not like a present danger.
This is like a
so he said, however you define it,
well,
right? So he said, so correct.
So, you have to do it
so that's what he said. He said, it's clear that the Beis Yosef, for whatever reason, is saying under this circumstance, as he calls it, that it's a long-term prophylactic strategy, right? That's what he's saying is mutter, right? That this is clear, however exactly you want to justify this definition of Pikuach Nefesh, that's clear what the Beis Yosef is saying.
Right.
So he said, what you see is that Karav L'Malchut, and then he gives a simple svara, and he says, why is that true? Why is this mutter? Because he said, look, if you try to apply the normal standards of Pikuach Nefesh, meaning it's only mutter when something's imminently a problem, then what's going to happen?
Then when the danger comes, you know.
Yeah, I mean, wait, what are you going to do? Oh, now there's a danger. Now let me start building a relationship. Right? It's too late. Right? The nature of political relationships that are helpful, right, are ones that exist for a long period of time. That's right. That's the nature of a relationship. You can't build a relationship and, you know, you can't build political capital only when you need political capital. That's not how political capital works.
Right.
Now he adds that he thinks that according to the Taz, now the way he reads the Taz, which I disagree with, right? The way I think the Taz is the same as Beis Yosef, right? This is about Masar HaKosav LaChachamim. The way Rabbi Broyd read this Taz is that the Taz said anything that any issur that's not explicit in the Torah is usur. I'm not sure that's right. Right? Meaning, that doesn't seem to be what the Taz is saying. I think the Taz is saying what I said from Vashra Weiss in the name of the Beis Yosef. Now, according to Rabbi Broyd, right, he said, no, the Taz would permit any Isser, as long as it's not Beferish Bekra, because there is evidence elsewhere in Halacha that any prohibition, even Daraisa, which is not Beferish Bekra, is at a lower level and can be Mutter. Again, I'm not convinced by that. I'm not convinced that's what the Taz is saying, but that was Rabbi Broyd's argument. Okay? But at any rate, so that's what he argued. And therefore he said that this was, he thought, Karov li L'Malchus. Then he adds, by the way, parenthetically, that you can also add that maybe it's not also going to the church either, because part of that depends, if you remember, on whether Christianity is Avodah Zarah, and it's a Snif L'Akel, you can rely on the Ramah.
Right.
Ramah is not a bad person, and if it's not Avodah Zarah, so going into a church is less problematic anyways. Mm-hmm. So Big Adol, he thought it was fine, and that's why he said that it was fine.
He said, if we could think about that.
He's saying, you add that as a Snif L'Akel, but Big Adol, and he said, that's why all these chief rabbis went in. Right? Ray Alman didn't like it at all. Now, the reason he doesn't like it, first of all, is that he thinks that what? He disagrees with Ray Broyd's read of the Taz. Ray Broyd says the Taz thinks that what? It's mutter to do any iser which is not beferish bakra. But Rayaman notes, what's the simple read of the Taz? Like the Beis Yosef, that what?
That
it's limited to what? Bichukoseihem. Because Bichukoseihem is Maser Lachachamim. But that means, and we'll have to see this next week, if the iser of going to a church is not what? Is not just Bichukoseihem, it's some other iser.
Right,
so then it would be?
Then it would be
a problem. Then it would be usher, because it's unique to Bichukoseihem that's mutter.
Okay, what do you mean, what kind of iser?
That's why I said we should do the iser of going to a church. We'll do that next week. Okay? Now, he further adds that Rayaman further adds that this doesn't, he's not convinced that this is Pikuach Nefesh. Right? And he's not sure that you can always pull in this type of, he said maybe for Atzalas Klal Yisrael, but for him, the biggest problem, for him, I think, when you read through his article, the biggest problem that Rayaman had was a very technical, not very technical problem, it was a practical problem, which is, it wasn't the difference of the sugyas. The difference of the sugyas is fine, but he had a bigger problem, which was, America isn't Tsarist Russia.
Right.
Right, he just said, right, meaning Karav Lamalchus, when the Gemara is talking about it, is talking about,
you're dealing with a like government people, that you need to be close to.
Yeah, which is not run by the rule of law. You're dealing with capricious leaders where it's all about,
it's all about who Tsarist, you know. Russia and America is about, they force like worshipping like the princes of the Tsar would like worship in every meal that
happens. Or pick your, doesn't matter, but his point is that in a country which is based on the whims of the leader, Karav Lamalchus makes a lot more sense. Because it's important to be Karov.
Right.
Okay, you're looking
at that. He's saying the level of Pikuach Nefesh in America, right? Ain't no dome.
You mean Bechal is not.
Now, besides for that, he also noted, right, that he said, that's one. He said also, even to the extent that you want to accept that in America you can say Karov Lamalchus, who should be the Krovei Lamalchus? Said, not the rabbis. He said, who are the Karovei Lamalchus? Like, his example was Diamant. Right? Nathan Diamant. Right? Who's Diamant? You don't even know who he is. But who is he? He's the director of the Institute for Public Affairs for the Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations of America, meaning the OU. Right? He's the lobbyist. Right? He said, Rabbi Lukstein showing up once for inauguration and having a nice conversation with Obama. He said that's not right. He said even if you want to accept Karov Lamalchus in America, it's AIPAC. It's right. It's the people who are lobbyists, right? The people whose job it is to have relationship with the government, right? Not the people who palm bid, right? Right. Once in a while, go and make a nice impression with the president. Right, Broyd responded that he's not sure that's right, because he said it's true that like people who are lobbyists, like they do it full time. But he said we know it, even in America, right? Like historically, we know that why did Harry Truman recognize the state of Israel? Because he had a Jewish friend who went in and yelled at him and said, you have to do this.
Right.
Right? Like, this is what you have to do. Like he said, you know, sorry, Broyd said, sometimes it's just not true that, you know, his name was Eddie Jacobson, right? Said sometimes, even in America, right, it's going to come down to the president, and it's not going to come down to the formal communication of the lobbyists. Sometimes it's going to come down to the fact that Haskell, you know, the right Haskell Lukstein converted Ivanka Trump. You know, Yacholio, that one day that'll be important, right? You don't know, right? So, you can read this and go back and forth. But the point is, right, again, I don't want to rehash this entire shir, but part of what they were arguing was exactly how to understand the sugya. And part of it, as I said, which is pretty complicated, is okay. Leaving aside the sugya, how do you understand, and by the sugya I mean both of the Lusayim and the Isser of going into a church and the Isser of Karvel and the Heter of Karvel Malchus, blah blah blah, but also part of it is how do you understand America, right? How do you understand America and its connection to these? And you can look, it was a three letters back and forth, Ram and Ray Broyd. I'm not going to rehash it again. You went to the shir.
What do you mean that Broyd then looks
right? And today and Ray Alman, 5:30.
And yes, and at 5:30 he's speaking about